Hello and welcome to EGSconsulting.net, the podcast. I am Daniel Davis, and today we're going to be speaking about hypnotherapy and weight management. Now, since becoming a qualified hypnotherapist, I have to admit the weight loss and weight management has been one of the primary inquiries I've had. Recently, on one of our terrestrial TV channels, Channel 4, we have a program here which is called Embarrassing Bodies, and now there's an equivalent of that now, which is called Embarrassing Fat Bodies. Not for me, but I recently heard about this particular program, and the fact that recently it's been looking into and investigating and almost at the forefront of promoting the benefits of hypnotherapy and weight loss. Now, obviously, they deal with quite extreme cases within this program. And so, as a result, it's very interesting to see the fact that they are getting such positive results to the point where they're actually continuing with these treatments and using them throughout the program with various other people. Now, we're at a time, at this precise moment in time, when the NHS, probably not only in this country, but across the board, are looking to find more effective, longer-lasting methods for common issues. And there's none more common in this country right now than being overweight or obesity or eating issues in general. And hypnotherapy for weight loss is fast becoming a chosen route for people to, if work in accordance with their diets, with their doctors, but even as just a go-alone state for actually using this and getting the results that people are looking for losing weight and permanently, that's the important part about this, permanently keeping that weight off. Now, in the Embarrassing Fat Bodies program, they were promoting the use of what's a relatively new strategy, but one which is spreading like wildfire, especially through the hypnosis community, because of its wonderful ability to help people with their eating problems. And this is called the Hypnoband. And as you can probably guess through the name itself, this is a technique which in essence convinces the client or the client's mind or mind-body that the stomach is smaller. It is basically, in effect, a mental gastric band, but without the actual physical repercussions or the need for the dangerous surgery and the fact that it's a surgery that even when it is used, and it's used as a last resort, quite often doesn't work. And quite often there are a lot of complications with this. Now, this fast result system is becoming widely available now among those who are in the know, and those are practically at the leading edge of these sort of ideas and methodologies. Yet, I personally believe that it is important and necessary to understand and utilize searching within yourself as well as dealing with a physical problem. Because to understand how we get to the point of needing a hypnoband or a gastric band or some sort of even hypnotherapy in itself for weight loss, to understand how we get to the point of needing this in the first place, and how we can change these ideas too, leads to a healthier mind as well as a slimmer body. And for me personally, even if you're going to use the Hypnoband treatment, which is a quick, fast, effective way of basically tricking the mind into believing the stomach is smaller, therefore reducing the amount of food that goes in. But as a cementing, as a backup, as a more solid way of treating it, it's always, in my opinion, better to start looking also to the issues that caused it in the first place. Otherwise, there is an essence of it being guilty of the same thing that a gastric band is guilty of, and that is trying to physically deal with something which is an emotional, mental problem at its core. So what are the reasons, generally, why people eat or overeat or whatever? Now, although you can never really lump people into specific categories, When it comes to weight gain, when it comes to this particular sort of issue, there are generally speaking three reasons why people tend to overeat. The first one, the first group, is what would be known as emotional eaters. And this term describes those of us who use food to control emotion. And whether it's to suppress negative emotion, to even express positive emotion, or in some cases I've come across already, to hold back any emotion at all. And a common example of an emotional eater might be someone who, upon receiving news that's distressing or upsetting to them, they, rather like a smoker who reaches for a cigarette, the emotional eater will reach for the nearest, chocolate bar or ice cream or other food stuff, depending on what their preferences are, to control, to stifle, to hide that reaction, or even to express that reaction. Now, of course, in every single case, this is only an illusion, as there isn't a single problem other than malnutrition that was sorted out simply because someone started to eat. No one became more attractive through overeating when they feel that way. No one has sorted out an argument with their parents by eating a pizza. No one has ever sorted out their marital problems by eating a carton of ice cream. The fact of the matter is, emotional eaters are usually conditioned at a young age, and for one reason or another associate stress release with eating. This often, not expressly, but often can be linked to parents or guardians who might have used food as a treat, maybe to quiet the child when they were behaving particularly badly, or to distract them when the child was feeling sick, or maybe when the child fell over and hurt themselves and they're expressing pain because they've scraped their knee, someone might give them a little pat and then give them a cookie. So ultimately, these triggers are built up over time, and it's not unusual. And that is basically a very basic idea of the emotional eater. Next, we have what you may term as an unconscious eater. And this is, again, something that most people are I say guilty is the wrong word, but something that we partake in, and it's actually a part of the culture now that this happens. And what do I mean by an unconscious eater? Well, an unconscious eater is when, you know, all of a sudden a movie ends and the end credits begin to roll, you stretch out as you start to bring yourself back into to the room, and a pile of wrappers and empty crisp packets and ice cream cartons all cascade down on the floor, and you sit there and you think, I don't actually remember eating any of that. I don't remember how it tasted. I don't even remember if I was hungry at the start. But somehow I've managed to munch my way through half of the refrigerator. Being at the cinema is another great example of that, was we sit there with huge tubs of popcorn, huge buckets of Coke, things we would never dream of eating while we were in our natural indoor environment or just on a day-to-day level. But there we are, unconsciously grazing. So many of us can be found guilty of this in many ways. It's the age of disposable foods. And this has led to everyone on some level having our favourite treats. And when you parallel this with the home entertainment systems and the amount of television and all of the consoles that we have now, means that many of us have periods of what you can call unconscious grazing. Now, I can't lie, I could have chewed my way through my own arm, and I'm a vegetarian, when I'm tied to a desk for 8 hours, when I'm working within an environment where I'm particularly bored, or I'm sitting in an office or something and I have to sit there for multiple hours, not really finding my way into anything that's particularly satisfying. Oh, eating has always been my way through. Luckily, I exercise a lot, I have a fast metabolism, which is something that you can work with through hypnosis and hypnotherapy. So I tend to not have an issue. If anything, would probably be bordering on slightly underweight. But I'm definitely guilty of being an unconscious eater, as is most of us, to be honest. So the third category that we can look at, and it's probably the most common cause of people overeating, and this is due to portion control and the inability to recognise when to stop eating. And we call this conditioned eaters. And very few people are not conditioned eaters. Very few. If you consider for a moment that it's obvious that naturally we all have an inbuilt, perfectly formed, evolved ability to know when it's time to stop eating. And this point when we know to stop eating is when we are no longer hungry. Now, I know that that sounds obvious, but let me say that again. We have a natural evolved ability to understand that we are to stop eating, and here is the important part, when we are no longer hungry. And the point to notice in that statement is that I didn't say stop eating when we are full. It is to stop eating when we are no longer hungry. However, generations of, and here we go again, parent issues, mummy issues, daddy issues here, I'm sure I must have them deep down, but again, it's a parental thing that this, ultimately, where this comes from, and we're all guilty of it. I don't have children, I do have a niece, but I have done it. I know that I've done it. I probably will do it again, and I will slap myself upside the head when I do. And it's this constant telling of children, you know, you cannot leave the table until you have finished. You must finish everything that's on that plate, or you cannot leave the table. Or even better, this is brilliant, you will not get dessert if you do not finish your dinner. Oh, yes, telling a child that you cannot have ice cream unless you eat what is on your plate is just gold dust to a child. They will stuff themselves into oblivion to get to that ice cream. We've all done it, we've all been there, we're all guilty of passing this one on. But it's certainly something worth understanding. And and finally, let's not forget the absolute classic. Oh, this is great. You must eat everything because there are children who are starving in, and you can insert your appropriate nation, Africa, Ethiopia, third world, Middle East, down the road from here, actually, because we do live in a world where that's possible, let's be honest. That in itself, of course, is a simple, genuine, well-meaning gesture, and it's meant to teach our children to have understanding and respect. And the truth of the matter is, all it does is it teaches us and our children to ignore natural instincts and to only feel finished when the meal is. We've become confused by the notion of being full with the natural inbuilt sense of, I am no longer hungry. As I said, of course, people can't be lumped into one category, as life and people are far more complete and rounded than that. But by understanding these traits, we can consciously start to look at our eating habits and pinpoint where some of the main issues lay. And the truth is, we're all a part of all three of those, even if we have quite healthy eating habits. And it's worth knowing, especially from the conditioned point of view, whether we are passing those on. Hypnotherapy deals with any of the above, and by understanding individual needs and beliefs, it can be used effectively to change those habits or those issues or all around those old patterns of behaviour. You can use personal methods and strategies that will help you to feel attracted to healthier foods, to understand the body's responses, to inspire exercise, to speed up metabolism, to help the fat burn off quicker. All of these things are possible through hypnotherapy. And as we've discussed, you know, even in this short podcast, there are many different ideas and methods for weight loss and management. And there are probably as many of them as there are people in the world. But it is very widely understood that dieting, especially dieting alone, is stressful. mainly ineffective. I mean, if you think about this from the from a logical point of view, and again, I may be going to be stepping into dangerous territory here, but if you are running a business where that business is to help people to lose weight, such as Weight Watchers, such as Slim Fast, such as all of these things, is it really, is it truly to their benefit for you to find a way to lose weight and keep it off? That's just something I think's worth thinking about. Because if everyone who went in there lost the weight and was able to keep it off, they'd be out of business pretty damn quick. So exercise is important, obviously diet is important, but the mind and the effect of our mind is far more important, and nothing else actually works effectively until you start to get the mind in gear with the body. And dieting, especially some of these extreme diets, can actually be very, very detrimental to your health. For the body to respond effectively, you need to feel comfortable in your own skin, once again. And that is the foundation on which hypnotherapy helps you to build a healthier you. So for more information, please, please, please go to egsconsulting.net. Sign up. It's very simple. It's either on the blog page. I think it's on the homepage too. If you just send me your name and email address, I'll include you on the mailing list and we'll send out a weekly newsletter to you. With more ideas, things like this, just giving you an idea of when podcasts are coming up and some of the blogs and links to sites and some positive quotes and things. I hope that this has been of use to you. And if you are looking to find a hypnotherapist and you're looking to work with a hypnotherapist that's local to you, be sure to find someone of repute, someone who is qualified and educated in this particular field. And speak to them and make sure you're comfortable with them. In the meantime, those who are local to me, I'm in Bromley, Kent, that's in England. Please contact me, egscentral@gmail.com. Anyone else looking for any further information, you can contact egsinformation@gmail.com, or alternatively, as we've said, egsconsulting.net. That's it from me for now. Thank you very much once again for taking the time, and I look forward to speaking to you again soon. Have a wonderful day.